This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas, but mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and Live Feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Fanny Mae, go tell Fanny what I heard.
Oh, I don't know if you can stop us from talking. You've turned into the Motormouths. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer on the one and only Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show here on Long Island. And with my dashing co-host over there on the screen. How are you, Chris?
I think I've just dashed. I'm doing well, Ray. Ray, how are you, sir? How was your week this fine Easter weekend?
It was very good. And you know what? Now I can hear myself live, so I'm doing very well today. Thank you.
I think I know why. I think I solved the problem, or at least helped solve it. But we'll talk about that off air.
What did you do? Tell me.
I worked fast. You know what I did? I plugged the phone in.
Oh, you what?
I plugged the phone in.
Oh, no fooling.
Yeah, I think that was the problem. I don't know if that was the problem, but I know I had the phone unplugged because we weren't using this phone line.
Right.
So I said, you know what? You know, I thought I did a Dr. Emmett Brown. I looked up at the clock tower, and I thought about it real fast, and I started plugging stuff in and waited for the lightning bolt.
Nice. So
I like the ears, a nice touch.
It's a Motormouth tradition on
it
Easter.
It is.
So
it is.
Since that phone isn't working, is it now plugged in? Tell people how they can call the show.
Yes, you can call us at 516-572-7440. That is the phone line. That is the studio line, the slick and exotic Motormouth Radio studio line, where you can get a hold of Ray Guarino. He will pick up the phone and go, hello.
Yes, I will.
Hello. He will do that for you. And on this fine, upstanding day, please give us a call, because I know you all sitting around with your hands in your pockets, you're waiting for dinner to be served, and you got nothing to do. You can't go outside and work on the car because, you know, the wife always says, gotta stay clean. So you can't go outside and work on the car, so you're just sitting around and just basically staring out the window. So if you have a car question about your car, or like
Rob would always say,
like Rob, someone else's car.
Right.
Call us. 516-572-7440. Hey, let me tell you, Ray, I'm a little bent out of shape this week. You want to know why?
You look it.
I feel it.
What happened?
I can tell you why. You know, I have it's a confusing setup in my house, a confusing situation. I have two Chrysler convertibles that happen to be the color green, different shades of green, but the color green. So one is a 69, obviously, and one is a 93.
Yes.
So, you know, we've gotten it down to, I told you the story, the Abbott Costello volley we have back and forth when I tell my wife, I'm going to take the convertible. And she says, which one? Well, the Chrysler. Well, which one? Oh, the green one. Well, which one? You know, it turns into that. And this time I was going to take what I like to call the new one.
Okay.
The new one is the 93, because I'll tell her that. There's the old one and the new one. I'll take the new one. And now the new one is a 93. And believe it or not, I still think this way.
It's not like I say.
I still think this way. Right. I'm driving along with the car. I go and pull, since I had my truck in the shop this week, I go and run some errands, go to the post office, do what I have to do, you know. And I come out and there's like two teenagers looking at my car. And I walk over to it and they're like, "This your car?" "Yeah." "Boy, this is old." I'm like, "Look at him, get out of here, you little rugrat, you little zit face. What are you doing?" I was, I'm like, "Yeah, it's old." You know, I fall right in lockstep with these guys. "Yeah, I know it's old, whatever." "And does it, you know, does everything work?" Like, they were just amazed that this sarcophagus of a vehicle was still on the road. And I'm thinking to myself, this is an old Bunky. Yeah. And I have to remember, it is.
Well, especially to them, yeah.
It is. I went and changed over. It happened this week, happened to coincidentally change over my insurance. I am now, I have my collector, both my collector cars are under one collector car policy.
Oh, good.
It's a little bit cheaper. It's not bad. It's Hagerty, which, you know, we always appreciate. And, of course, I'm talking to my insurance agent, and wonderful person. We're going back and forth, and I said, it's a 93. And she's like, "Wow, that old. It's as old as me."
Oh,
I'm like, "As old as you?" I says, "It's the new one.
I got a wallet older than that."
Exactly. I got a pair of socks older than that.
You should tell her, "Listen, we had McKeel Hagerty on my show when you were in grade school."
I told her.
And then she hung up on you.
Yeah, pretty much.
I heard that old line.
She actually responded like I was talking to a celebrity, which I think he is. He's a celebrity to us.
Sure is,
and
yeah.
She was like, "Oh, you talk to McKeel?" I said, "Yeah, of course."
Wow.
So yeah, it's kind of funny where your perspective is. I still can't wrap a thought around the fact that 69 vehicle in my garage is over 50 years old, just like that 65 in your garage is 56 years old, 56 right. years old. It's just, but your car, everything is still you've touched every bolt in that car, so technically when you
rebuild them. Well, no, but yes, but the difference is when you drive a new car, a modern car, the difference is vastly. You know, it's you can see
apparent.
It right away. There's no way. Yeah. But that's the thing. It does. And everybody I talk to, Chris, has the same feeling about this. Like, "Wow, I can't believe I'm driving a car that I said that, like, it's over 50 years old, you know." And back when we were kids, a car that was old was, you know, if it was built before you were born, it was old, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and so I could see how somebody younger now would think that a 93 was old. Maybe it was built before they were born. Could be.
It definitely was built before these guys that I was talking to. It was definitely built before they were born. That's for
right.
sure. But if you just take the numbers, and let's go back to 1985, okay? Let's go back. Let's take Dr. Emmett Brown. Let's take Marty. Let's go back to 1985. And now think about driving a 50-year-old vehicle in 1985.
Okay.
So what would you be driving?
In 1970.
You'd be driving a 1935 vehicle.
Oh, I thought you said 15 years.
50.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
50.
Right.
50.
Okay. Yeah, it would be a 35, right.
Be a 1930. So can you imagine, like, in 1985, and now we can picture 1985, it was almost modern time, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Can you imagine driving a 1935 vehicle of any type as like some sort of daily driver or something? I mean, there were hot rods, and there were 1935 vehicles that were considered hot rods and classic cars when we were young drivers. But just to think about using that as a daily driver.
They were relegated to shows. Now, at that time, my brother was driving 55 and 56 Chevys daily. Those were his daily drivers. But that's another 20 years. You know, this conversation is great for, like, you know, sitting around a campfire, a couple cigars, the beverage of your choice, because as you ruminate, because you're right. And what it shows is how cars have evolved and grown through the decades.
Yes.
And how they've gotten better. I mean, I don't know if you want to go by every, you know, every decade, or there's probably some denominator you could put on it. And now once we hit, I think, the, you know, let's forget the 80s, because nothing, you know, the 80s kind of just was a sucky time, but for cars especially. So let's go to the 90s, you know, when we had more computer control and things were more, you know, we had OBD2 and whatever.
Sure.
Since the 90s to now, even, those cars are 25 years old. And the changes aren't as pronounced as they were, I think, from the 30s to the 50s or the 40s to the 60s.
Agreed.
It's like everything else, like electronics and, you know, how TVs have, you know, in the beginning, the Dumont was like the world class, you know.
And then the Dumont!
But then if you saw your RCA color track in the 80s, like, wow, that blows that Dumont away. So, yeah, it's all relative. It's great conversation, great stuff to talk about. But
so, yeah, so I got hit with a blast from the past this week, and I was rattled.
So let me throw this out to you. So now you see guys, of course, taking the 30s cars and throwing an LS in it. They're putting the most modern engine. Uncle Tony from Uncle Tony's Garage, I watched the video of his last night, a new one. One of the cars he picked up was a Miata because he just always wanted to play with one. And he showed how, you know, engine tranny gone. He had guys from the Miata Club come take it. And what he's putting in there is a, what engine would Uncle Tony put in a Miata?
Probably a Hemi.
No, a slant six. And he chose the 170 slant six.
Is that the small one?
It is, because the 225 was the one that came later. And he did a nice little histrionic lesson about the 170 being the forgotten engine and how the 225 came about. He said basically the 170 was kind of the perfect engine, but you know what? We have a perfect caller. We have a caller on the line. So let's go to the phones. Let's go to the fun and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths, Ray and Chris.
Hey, guys. Al from Albertson here.
What's up, Al?
Hey, Al.
Well, normally in Albertson, today I'm on the cell phone. I'm out at Garden City where the Easter parade lining up.
Okay.
It's not on officially, but there's about 15 of us here, and we decided it's time we're going to go out and do the route ourselves, like we did last year.
Okay.
Right.
Figure if we make one person smile, we did our job.
Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah, that was the question.
Well,
was that going to come off? Right.
Right. And, supposedly, some guys are saying online they said it was going to be on because it was the 60th anniversary, and then it's off, but they couldn't throw it together at the last minute.
Yeah,
sure. So, supposedly they're going to do something on Memorial Day Sunday, some kind of official parade. But guys, cool. I told a lot of them, because I told them, like, we heard it through you guys, that the 25th of this month, the Street Rod Association show, Wicks Road, is going to be on.
Actually, that's correct, but it's not at Wicks Road.
What I was going to ask you.
Okay, the location for the Long Island Street Rods car show and swap meet on April 25th is at the Hagerman Fire District on Oakdale Avenue in East Patchogue.
Oh, okay. So that's a completely different place.
Yes, it is. And then there's another one. Hang on.
Right. And we'll have the Lost Dog Report soon here on Motor Mouth Radio.
Well, car shows, we kind of cover this. But our good friend, you know, Ed Muro and those guys from the town of Oyster Bay, where we have done a couple of remotes, they're doing their car show now turned into a drive-in theater. They're going to show American Graffiti.
That's awesome!
On April 24th, the day before that, that's at Tobe Beach. The movie begins at dusk, and you can go to carshowli.com for more information. We're going to have Ed call in the weeks.
Just like the movie itself, it begins at dusk.
Exactly.
some of the guys he was saying they heard that Wicks Road had moved its location. I don't know, maybe the college gave him a hard time. I don't know what.
Don't know. Don't know why, but I did get that from, actually, Billy Velvet reported on that to us, Chris, that the location changed. So,
Got it.
Fireman's Park, I don't know if they're going to have enough rooms. You know, I can't imagine how mobbed that's going to be with no shows from last year.
Well, again, if you go to their website, LISRA.com, that's Long Island Street Rod Association.com. But use the LISRA, that's the URL.
Yeah.
You can find all the information.
Any information on a rain date for that? Because April can be kind of a funny weather month.
No, they have another show in October, on October 10th, and I haven't heard that it'll be at that location. I guess we'll wait and see. We have some time to figure that one out. So
I guess, yeah. And have you heard anything from Frank from Long Island Cars yet? Any dates on his shows? Or?
Let's see. What do I have here? Yeah, I have Long Island Cars. Yeah. They're going to have Bald Hill going at, you know what, it says watch here for the spring and summer dates. So what you have to do is, he's got one for Bald Hill, Flower Fields, and North Hempstead Beach. You have to go to their website, which is longislandcars.com, and you can find out his information. He didn't post it on this flyer.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't have anything set yet.
Right.
I'm on his mailing list, so I'll probably get his stuff as soon as he gets it set.
I'm surprised you didn't get that, because that's how I got it. It was emailed. Yeah. All right, Al. Well, watch out for those errant Easter bunnies out there at the parade.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right.
And we got to watch. There's nobody officially blocking any streets or anything, so we got to, you know, obey the lights and pull over and wait when we get stuck. But
right.
That'll be right. It'll be fun. Hey, like I said, if we make one or two people smile, we did our job in these times.
Be careful out there.
All right. You too, buddy. Take care,
Al.
Guys. Have a good Easter.
Thanks. So long.
All right.
All right.
Motormouth Radio, where we have our finger on the pulse of the automotive Long Island community.
Luckily,
or somewhere
just
near it.
Stuff,
like
people, luckily, stuff that but you know, Ed did communicate with me firsthand. Long Island Mopars, they're actually doing their their first meet of the year today, too. So clubs are starting to get out there and do more stuff. Which
right.
is good.
We got our finger somewhere, but I thought it was a pulse.
You know, I had my finger yesterday in the bins over at Infinity Records. I want to shout out the guys out there. I didn't get to see Joe, but I saw Corey and Rob's friend Joe, who was in there. So picked up some more good vinyl.
How many
yesterday.
Joes are in there?
Oh, there's Joes everywhere. They're falling out of the... You don't even have to go to the J tab to find them. They're just all over. They're in the aisles.
Joe, and Joe.
Oh, they're everywhere. Yeah, well, Corey is the other guy. Yeah, Corey is works.
Hey, Corey.
Right. So, yeah, they're all over the place. But
that's cool. So what was going on over at Infinity? Did you come home with a plethora of fine vinyl?
I have a small handful. You know, I got some good stuff that I found. You're always finding stuff. I like to buy stuff that I hadn't. I either buy stuff that I haven't bought before or I'm buying other copies, new to me copies of albums that I have that are very old that maybe were a little beat because I bought them when I was in my teens. So buying newer copies of used.
You're buying doubles.
Oh, doubles, triples. Yeah, you know it.
Wow.
But I'll tell you something. Kim and I were talking about this before the show. We were talking about audio in cars and how they wanted to take radios out of cars, but how right. CD players have gone away. Everything's going digital and streaming and how we're both against that. And I like having a CD player in my car. So what I said to her was it warmed my heart yesterday at Infinity to see a gentleman. I'd say he was probably a grandfather, and he had two girls with him that looked to be like late teens, right. And they were going through the vinyl bins, you know, and he was explaining to them differences in album covers and editions, and he was really getting into it. And then there was another guy who came in who was maybe like early 50s, and he had who I assume was his daughter with him, who was obviously a tween. She was younger because I kept hearing her barking, "Where's Taylor Swift? Ah, I came." Like she wanted all the stuff that ain't existing in Infinity. But it was just good to see that now younger people were being brought to record stores. You know, I brought my daughter. I even brought my wife. I said, "You got to, come here. You got to check this out. You think I'm nuts?
I believe it.
You got to see this."
And I have to admit, I have a young one in the house that came up to me. Last week, the week before, and said, she looked me dead in the face and said, "Was Elton John or was John Lennon in the Beatles?"
Right, right.
And I looked at her.
Yeah.
First of all, I got some questions for you, young lady.
Yeah.
How did you know either of those two guys?
Right.
At the age of 7.
Right.
So I had a clarifier.
Right.
Clarifying. But I think I had mentioned to you when I was back when I was spinning records professionally and getting a paycheck for it, we had an intern in the studio, and I'm going back in the modern times in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And she was about 16, and she said to me, was Paul McCartney in a band before Wings?
<That's>
and
right.
I said, yeah, a small four piece.
A little combo, yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
Did a lot of weddings.
Right. Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
So, yeah. 516-572-7440. We're talking to ourselves today, which is great. I always love when we're talking to ourselves every once in a while. You need that catch-up.
Yeah, you do. I'll tell you who I talked to yesterday. I talked to our good friend Matt Goman Brian.
Hey, how is he?
I had to give him a call because he's trying to help me dope out. On Thursday night, we talked about this in Plane in Traffic. I have, the carburetor agitator that I have. It's like a washing machine for carburetors.
Right, yes.
And it ends up there was a little brass valve on it that there's a fitting on it that broke. And I decided, now I have to fix this thing.
So the agitator is now agitating you.
Oh, well, it wasn't until it didn't work again. Now it certainly is. Yeah.
Right. So you're agitated.
It's funny because I used to tell people, I would describe to people, they'd say, well, what do you mean? What is that? And I'd say, it's literally like a washing machine for a carburetor. But there's a motor with a drop rod and a crossbar that goes onto a basket, and it literally turns it like a washing machine, right, left, right, left, right. I said, like a windshield wiper kind of effect. Well, I found out the motor that's in this thing is made by, it's a Sprague HP200. It is a pneumatic windshield wiper motor from a truck. I did some research online, and they're saying, yeah, this is still used in some farm equipment in trucks. I'm like, wow, how do you like that? Put air on, you know, there you go. So anyway, this valve gave me fits. There's no markings on it. Well, there was a name, but no part number, nothing like that. Brian said, you know, if I can get him some numbers, but don't exist. I actually drilled and tapped this thing. I needed a 1/16th pipe thread, which is small. It's like, and like I told Brian, if you ever put an oil pressure, a mechanical oil pressure gauge in a car, that little hose that you hook up, that fitting is a 1/16th pipe. That's the size.
Holy smokes.
So I did get it. I drilled and tapped it, and then it was working, then it wasn't working, and now it's stuttering. It's all over. So I don't know. We were. I actually called Brian to talk this out with him because, you know, through texting and email, it just gets to be too cumbersome.
And I know what Brian said.
What did he say?
Brian probably said, "Oh, this guy with the truck windshield wiper motor on his agitator. Holy smokes, he's making me crazy. Just go get another agitator." Did he say something like that?
Well, no. Brian, like many of us, are. You know, he's a. He's a fix-it guy. He likes to get in and get the problem solved. Get the problem solved.
Oh, so he was in on the minutiae.
He's in on it, yeah. So he's actually going to dig through some old catalogs and see if he can find me any information. So,
wow.
But again, it's just good. You know, it's, again, like we always talk about, we go into our banks of people, and Brian is certainly a great resource for stuff like that.
Right, because he's willing to listen to your...
Well, there's that. Yeah.
Tales of woe.
Listen, but I, you know, like with you, I listen to his too. So, you know, it goes both ways. It's,
yes,
it's
and I've given you some tales of woe too.
Absolutely.
About different agitators.
Yes, exactly. Very true. Very true. And just like this one, it's a lot easier for Brian to deal with it when it's not his agitator. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So, sure, it's that's where the art of conversation has died with a lot of younger people. They don't do that. I know people, even our friend Joe Forrestano, you know Joe, the Kiss, Gene Simmons guy. He's now, Joe is in his early 40s already, I think. And I know other people of that age, and they've a few of them have said to me, you know, my friends don't do this. They don't do what you do with me. They don't talk, and they don't, like, you know, work things out. They'll just, when you call them and you got a problem, they're not available. It's like, you know, guys of your age, your generation, you'll actually take the time for a friend. I was like,
really?
Yeah, because we grew up having, you know, knowing what the value of a friend is.
Oh, my gosh, that's just so incredibly sad to hear.
I've heard it from my own kids who were younger than that. I've heard it from them saying the same thing. Like, yeah, they're friends. Like, yeah, they don't have that knit. That you know, like your guys, the guys you know from forever back in the day. You could call them tomorrow and say, hey, you know, can you help me out? Yeah, okay, Chris, sure. Yeah, what do you need?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Right.
You're absolutely right. That is the case. And it's kind of funny because I get a call from my cousin Pat, a lot, you know, whenever he's in a bind, you know, we're going over to Easter dinner. We're going to go over to the Friars today. I'm bringing the grease gun.
Nice. Nice.
Because he's like, don't get your shirt dirty. Bring a grease gun. All righty. Yeah. It's like, that's what we do. I mean,
you're right.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
No, it's very true. And I think that's something that's kind of, it's for the primarily it's dying with, at like our generation, around our age. But then again, every once in a while, I see, you know, I've always instilled it in my kids to not be that. Be this way. Don't be the other way. You know,
right.
Take some time, you know, value that friendship. And you do see, when you see those little bits, when you see someone from a younger generation do that, it kind of warms your heart.
You know, it's funny because I learned something very simple from a good friend of mine. He says, a friend is happy when you're happy and sad when you're sad.
Right.
And that's, there you go. That's the bottom line right there. That's the bottom line right
exactly.
there. And I'm a firm believer of it. And I've come to realize car people are grumpy.
Oh, hell yeah.
Have you ever looked at that? You ever noticed car guys? Take a look at not all of them, not individuals. I'm talking about society as a whole. They're all grumpy.
Right.
They all have some grumpy connotation going on.
And proud of it.
And you betcha. This car's been giving me so much trouble. Rah, 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 rah. Yet they're driving it all over the place. Oh, that car's a piece of junk. Rah, 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 rah. And I love them. I love them. I want to hug them all. We get along with grumpy
Have you been
people.
Talking to Vic? Hey, I want to do something here. I want to read something to you. It's kind of like a quiz to Swizz, but it's an audible. I opened a product yesterday to use for my house, and I just happened to look at the back of it, and they had some instructions. And I said, okay, let me, I read instructions.
Put any of this product in your hair?
I can't tell you because I'm gonna ask you what this product was that I was dealing with.
Ooh.
But what I'm doing is I'm gonna redact certain words that I, because that would obviously give it away.
Okay,
so here it is. It's a short little paragraph. This is, says, warning. It's the warning for this whole product, right?
Oh.
So warning, do not drink from this blank. The inside of blank is dark, damp, and warm, conditions which may cause bacteria to form. Also, blanks are typically used with or come in contact with products such as something else that would give it away, pesticides, and other things that would give this away, products that may contain harmful chemicals. So the question is, what was I installing? What did I put in my house? What's this thing that is going to, like, kill the human race?
A mongoose.
You would think, right? Well, let me read it with some of the words put back in. Warning, do not drink from this hose.
Hose.
The inside of the hose is dark, damp, and warm. Also, garden hoses are typically used with or come into contact with products such as spray nozzles, pesticides, and lawn and garden chemicals. It was a freaking garden hose I was hanging on my house. Well, yeah, I needed another hose. Yeah, the one in there has been like there for 30 years.
You bought a garden hose and you read the warning on it?
Yeah, I did. Well, listen, I was in the garage. There was a good song on, and I said, hey, you know what? Like I told Kim, I'm listening to my cassettes in the garage, so I got some good old albums on cassette in the garage. And I'm sitting there saying, oh, what does this say over here? And I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. So, yeah, watch out for those garden hoses, folks.
I mean, exactly. And you know, it's so funny because you've done it, I've done it, we've literally drank from a garden hose.
Oh, grew up and, doing that.
Yeah, and mind you, we're talking about garden hoses that were, I'm sure, incredibly old.
Hose water. I mean, yeah, it had that taste.
You didn't. The garden hose you were drinking out of was there probably, you know, in time immemorial. I mean, it was as old as you, I'm sure.
It's like the one
older.
I just took off the one I just took out and out of service.
You know, it's kind of funny you should mention garden hose. I've been having a conversation with my wife. I actually have a garden hose that is so worn out that the rubber didn't break. The threads on the male threads literally started to come apart. They started to wind off. They were so worn out from putting a nozzle on there, taking a nozzle off, and putting some. I never saw this in my life, Ray. You could look at the threads and see through them. You could see daylight through the threads.
I think they have a salve for that. when your male threads wear out, I think there's something, an ointment you can maybe affix to it to kind of help that problem. You should look into that. Yeah, you should go down to CVS.
The same stuff that makes you walk funny. Yes.
That's the one. Yeah, that's it. So, so garden hose. Yeah, well, you know, I remember back in the day, you know, all the kids in the neighborhood, you drink out of the hose. And my mother found through, I think it was like Finger Hut. That was the catalog of the day where you'd buy all your...
Finger Hut.
Remember that? And
whoa.
It was a little... water fountain that you attach to, you know, the hose bib outside the house. Instead of a hose, you screw this on. It had a little tray and had a little loop and a lever on it. And you could sit there and drink out of more like a fountain.
Incredible.
So now at least, because a lot of times the kids would turn the hose on, of course, make a flood. There was mud because it was dirt there.
Sure.
And there's always a kid who would just put it down and run and leave the hose going. So now, you know, the basement floods.
There was that smart aleck kid that held his thumb over it.
Oh, that was me. So now with the fountain, when you released it, it would stop. So my mother got smart and got one of those, which was pretty cool, you know, back in the day. Got
to find one of those on eBay right now. I'm sure you could find one.
Wow. Well, I tell you what else we can maybe find if we look on eBay is an Honor Group of the Hour.
Oh, maybe. You may be able to find an honor group of the hour on eBay, but you certainly can find one here at Motormouth Radio. And this show proves, this first half an hour proves, you and I can talk about anything.
That's true.
Just goes and proves that. Anyway, on this Easter holiday, the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. Yes, the mind boggles. What does Easter have to do with cars? If you can't be trusted with a carton of eggs, because one or two are always broken when you bring them in the house, and then your wife goes, that's it, I'm not buying 10 eggs when I buy a dozen because of you. If you can't be trusted with flammable liquid or power tools, but are not allowed to bring the bag of eggs into the house with the rest of the groceries, or if you're allowed to purchase hundreds of dollars in parts and tools, but would never be sent to the store to actually purchase eggs because your wife sends you to the store to buy some things, and she's going to make that special trip to go buy the eggs, if you're talented enough to remove window glass without it breaking, or installing an airbag without it deploying, but not allowed to handle a carton of eggs in the house, you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. There you go.
Excellent.
It's egg salad.
I like that. Egg salad. All right. With that, we're going to take a break. We'll reestablish here, and we'll play our Easter song for today. It was the only thing. You know, I was in the garage listening to this band yesterday, and I said, hey, you know what? That's a good, I can make that an Easter song. So let's do that. We'll hear from a few of our friends, but first we'll hear from a lot of our show friends on here. And we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
Them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Motormouth!
You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt.
How are you, Ray?
Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
No, hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Motormouth!
A tornado of urban legend and BS.
No, I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evan Root.
As always, you are consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming. I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Obviously, I call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Motormouth!
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHBC.
Motormouth! Please stay tuned for Motormouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon every Sunday exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motormouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles, and these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. A lot of call-ins and a lot of crazy people calling in with problems with their cars. And, okay, Joe and Ray offering their expert opinion on these things and doing it in a somewhat comical fashion.
This is Motormouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show. And now, here are your Motormouths, Chris Switzer and Ray Guarino.
A All right, we are back with Motor Mouth Radio. Chris Switzer and Ray Guarino here with you, as well as Joe D in the clouds, as Steve K told us.
Yes, so, that was a wonderful Motor Mouth Radio stop set, promo stop set.
That was.
That was world's record. Very appealing. 516-572-7440. Ray is manning the phones in the studio, so please give us a call. I got a question for you, Ray.
Oh, please ask.
I always say, and I know we say this all the time, I don't know everything. I know where to get everything. And in this case, I have the 383 in the 69. That it's a 383 4-barrel. You know that. Somebody, it wasn't me, took off the original breather that sits on the valve cover.
Right.
And that it's supposed to be like a black canister, and it's got a hose that leads into the air cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a simple Chrysler pollution control device that I'm still looking for because my car doesn't have it. Mm. Because when I got the car, it had some sort of silly Mr. Gasket air filter on it. And on the breather, on the valve cover, it had a separate element.
Yeah.
And I just took it apart. I took it out, and I was thinking about what we had talked about last week about the twist transmission dipstick on the 64 Caddy.
Yeah.
They had to twist it and pull it out. Well, this breather has the same affair. You twist one half of it. It's almost like a big Easter egg. You just mm-hmm. twist it in the center and boop, it pops apart. And in there is some sort of Scotch Bright looking
filter. It's a mesh. Right.
A mesh element. So I took the mesh element out and I hit it with a little carburetor cleaner. Just to clean it off, I got most of the – it was a little dark around one end of it. It was a little black and kinky. So I cleaned it all out, put it all back together again, thought nothing of it, slapped it back on the car. I got in the car. I drove away. Ray, this thing runs like gangbusters.
Wow.
I can't tell you what – literally, it used to have a little hesitation in the acceleration. It would go and now it's like not even there.
That's great.
Now my question is, what did I do?
I don't know. I'll tell you what is there, though, and it's a phone caller.
Oh, good.
So let's go back to the phones and find out who's on with us and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey. Hi, Chris. Hi, Ray. It's Bob. Bob Jones. How are you?
Hey, Bobby. What's happening?
Hey, Bob.
Hey,
how are
you? How you doing? All right. Listening to the show. Thought I'd call in. I had a thought, and I think, Ray, I might have sent you something on it at some point. But let me start from the beginning. I got a call from Jeff Robinson. He was doing some glass work down at Sells Auto Body in North Belmore.
Right.
And he called me down to say there's a fellow down there. He's going to restore his first car. And it's a 66 Oldsmobile F85 and wanted to know if you could help with maybe some advice or some parts or stuff like that, where he could go. So I said, sure. I went down there to see the car and subsequently I met with the guy. And it really struck a chord with me because the guy's doing a full restoration on a 66 F85, right, which is a four-door car.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, as we know, you can put serious investments into these cars. And the thought is, should I restore a car or maybe I shouldn't restore a car? So I ended up helping the gentleman with some advice, and I also got him a couple of tires that would fit over the disc brake conversion he just did, his rims. And he's really doing a nice job on the car, but it needs considerable work. So I started to talk to him, and his name is Dave out of Bayside, and he's never really done anything like this, and he's really not a classic car guy.
Uh-oh.
So I asked him, and he's making, choices, and I asked him, why this car? And he said, well, this was my grandfather's car. So there, that struck the chord.
Yep.
Now we know why. And he said, my father had it. I was very close to them, and I even feel that they're helping me along with this car. I said, well, that's good, because when you touch these old cars, you need all the help you can get.
Yes,
very true.
So anyway, it kind of resonated back with me because I just kind of moving towards a semi-retirement. I'm going from, let's say, I used to work 6.5 days, and it was 5. Now it's 3. And I'm starting to uncover those two cars that have been sitting in the garage for 10 years and wanting to do them. And things come into mind like, hey, how old am I? Can I do this type of work? What kind of help can I get?
Is that because you don't remember that you say that? Or is
it just... exactly.
I just want to get a baseline here, Bob. That's all.
Exactly. So then I happen to be stumbling across an article, and it says, don't do that. Do not restore your car. Your costs will far exceed the value of the finished product. And we've had that discussion so many times.
Yeah.
Right.
So I started to read. I think I might have sent you that article.
You did. I don't know
if you got to it yet, but
I did read. I read it before the show. Yes.
Oh, you did. Oh, okay. Good. Good. So I was. The gentleman who wrote that, I think he's with the AACA, the Antique Automobile Club, and these kind of articles pop up, and they just happen to grab my interest because I'm really at the point where I want to dedicate time and money and take care of these cars. Now, these two cars generally run and are driven, but they're not at the point where I would love to have them. And I've waited a long time. Now, I know you just redid the GTO.
Yes.
I know Chris is doing the 300. Mm-hmm. You know, so we all fall into this. You know, what do we do? How much do we put into it?
You know, Bob, topic, we could talk about this for hours and hours. And just to kind of encapsulate with broad brush strokes, I don't know the guy from Bayside, so I don't know what his, I mean, he's got it at a body shop, so obviously he's farming out some work, which is probably a smart thing to do.
Yes.
Now, knowing nothing else about him, I can't speak to that, but knowing you, you know, you, like us, grew up working on the car, so you're going to do a lot of work yourself. And you have knowledge, you have the tools, you have the parts, you have the resources, so you can do a lot of that yourself and save that outsourced cost, which, of course, puts you ahead of the game when you're looking at the total balance sheet. Although some people say, hey, what was your time worth? Hey, you know what? Time in the garage. How do you weigh that out?
It's
mental health, you know?
And right. I have friends. That's
right.
The nice part, the network of friends that can help.
Well, Bob, can I just ask a question? Do you have a car? Let's start with you personally. Do you have a car in mind that you would like to, like your dream car to restore? Let's start with that. What is your goal?
Chris, I have all my dream cars now.
Okay. So there's nothing that you long for.
I have a small gathering.
Okay.
I have a 65 Olds convertible. And
nice.
It's a Cutlass 442, and
nice.
it was redone in the 90s. But you know, it's got little things here and there, and little body damage here and there, and things
it's got
happen over 30 years.
Sure.
Yeah. So I have that one, and then I have a 65 F85 442 Club Coupe, which bare bones. The convertible's like fully, air and all power windows, but the Club Coupe is a bare bones, doesn't have a radio or heater in it. It's, different style.
Wow, talk about two different ends of the spectrum.
Those are the two sitting on the cover at the moment.
Right, right.
And Chris, to be worse, I actually still have my very first car from 1971. That will be next year if I get to it.
You don't get rid of things, do you, Bob?
No.
you don't have that concept of selling a vehicle.
No, I don't.
Kind of fits in with us very well, doesn't he?
Yeah. Okay. You know, like all your groups that you mentioned, you know, to be a Motormouth fan.
Right.
Yeah, I think I hit all those points most of the time.
You certainly do. The funny thing is, Bob, that you pick a good duo to ask this question to, because Ray and I have two completely different, we look at restoration from two completely different ends of the spectrum. And Ray is like you. He's an individual that keeps his vehicles. He's a guy that he looks at the car already done a lot of times. Where I am, I restore to make money. And it's a losing proposition most of the time. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Totally get that. But it is, it's like I would, if I'm going to restore something, it's not going to be a four-door, unfortunately, because they don't have a return on investment.
Right.
It's going to be a Jag, or it's going to, like an XKE or something along those lines. Well, you know, you can probably get your money back for it, most likely.
Then again, I have to take, I would have never argued with that statement before. But now, Chris, as we know, guys went from, you couldn't buy the Chevelle SS or the 442 or the GTO. So you went to the Le Mans, or you went to the Malibu, you went to the F85. And now guys have gone down and down. Now I know guys that are buying four doors. Joe had that Chevelle. It was beautiful. It was an original car. And even the Buick that's at the shop, I still say, God, I should really buy that car because it's a 43,000-mile original car.
Is that that 68?
Yeah, it's a blue. Okay. Yeah, it's a blue Ford.
Sure,
you drive it.
I like it.
Like a Buick. I mean, it does everything. The key buzzer works. Everything. So I know guys are buying the four doors now. The problem is going to be, I think, with restoration parts. If you need quarter panel skins or rear door parts, maybe a little more problematic.
Sure.
But you can a lot of times find a clean four-door where you couldn't find a clean two-door.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Good point on that. That's
my two cents.
Right. But yeah, I would. You're smart to factor in like age and bodily condition, health, and all that.
Here's the car. What are you talking about here?
Ray, you took 10 words out of my mouth. I thought Chris was talking about me, age, my health.
We're all living the same thing here. Let's face it. You know,
the thing, my own personal two cents, Bob, is that I would much rather take a car that's maybe not 100%, not 100-point car, like something that needs work, that's, like you said, that's got some road use, that was restored in the 90s, and take it and use it, then do what Ray did. Like Ray literally took the car out of commission for 5 years, but he did drive it a lot of that time.
Yeah.
But there was still time that the car was down. And unless you find that happy medium where you have one of your Oldsmobiles is the car you take out on the weekends, and the other one is your full-blown chassis off restoration job, so you get the best of both worlds going on, that's great. That would be awesome.
Yeah. If you're lucky enough to do that, that's really a plus, you know?
Well, right. That's the thing. If you're going to restore it to Concours condition for judging purposes, you're not going to drive it. But if you, like me, are going to say, hey, you know, I've been a car show judge since forever. I don't need some Yahoo judge in my car telling me what he thinks I did. No, well, I'll judge your car. You don't judge my car. In that case, it's like, hey, I'm just getting, bed liner underneath and then drive it and enjoy it, because when you're gone, you can't enjoy anything.
And the difference between a 90-point car and a 100-point car can be 20 years.
That can be the majority of the restoration.
Can be $100,000. Yeah.
It can be thousands, too.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. So
this gentleman in his article kind of sums it up in a way. He said, it starts off with don't restore it. You'll end up with way more money in the project than it's worth. And at the, he's showing you that. And then at the end, he says, it's his personal take that it's a hobby, and it's an antique car hobby. And he says, hobbies contribute to the benefit of not only the person involved, but the people around them. Fellowship is enriched as individuals are fulfilled, and they have more to offer and share with family, friends, and colleagues. And it's not about the end result, but it's about the journey.
That's
so I thought that was really nice.
No, he's right. Like you said, Bob, the friends that you make through this life, I mean, you mentioned Jeff before. I know Jeff since, the early 70s. That's when we met. And we each had cars before we were driving that we were playing around with. And that was kind of one of the common threads that got us together.
Yes,
and it kind of keeps us together,
Agreed.
Definitely true.
No, I totally agree. And if that's the case, how about restoring a white steamer or like an old Packard or something, something completely crazy where they'll know you. You'll make a ton of friends.
Yes.
Well, that's something that, you know, you're really going to take a long time on it. Yeah. Like an old, a car like that, that's more common. You can, like I did what's called a rolling restoration on my car, meaning that it was only really laid up for a short amount of time. And then I drove it through the other restoration processes.
Right.
And
I haven't seen it since it was on the lift and I passed by.
Right.
I didn't get to see it yet, but it's you'll be bringing it out, I guess, shortly.
Yeah, actually, you know, I need to do a little repair. I found out when I had it on the lift, I was putting the wheel well moldings in.
Okay.
You had to get the screwdriver in to get the screws into the rear wheel well molding. My tires were in the way because I have a little bit of an oversized tire on the car. So I took the wheel off, and then when I did that, I took the drum brake off just to see what was in there, and I found out I have a bad axle seal, at least on the left side.
Okay.
So I don't know if the right side's bad, but I have to do axle seals. So, you know, I don't know how long I was driving it with it leaking. Who knows? It didn't bother me then, so it probably wouldn't bother me now, but I do need to fix that.
Yeah. That's how I stumbled across this article. I have a leaking steering box, and for some reason, when I was on one of the sites, you know, it had a link to the article, and that's how I picked this up. But it just happened to hit me at the right time because I'm just helping this other gentleman, and also with me working a little less now, I'm starting to having a little bit of time, which I've never really had for the cars. So
right.
It just hit me at the right point.
Yeah,
and so I said, well, you know what? This is something to think about.
Yeah,
sure is. No, it's a good thought. It's a thought that I wish I could have more often. I wish I had the time. But it's a very good thought. And the fact that your wife probably doesn't want you under her feet, you know, get them out of here. Get in the garage. Go get busy. Go do something.
I think the thing to do, though, is to set goals and maybe not set, like Chris said, I always saw the car done. I did, but I never set that as my goal. Because that's almost an unobtainium goal. Because now there's so, I think you have to set small goals. Like, okay, let me fix the steering box leak, or let me do the rear suspension. Little bits and pieces, and then you start seeing after a while that I made some progress here. And
and you get some satisfaction that way instead of the frustration where you've set this humongous goal at the end and you're never getting there.
Exactly.
Right.
So small goals. Right. Like in the case of this other fellow, you know, the car's in a body shop. I don't know how far down they're tearing it, but if it does have that rust that a lot of our cars have, he's going to get a car back without an interior and without a lot of things in place, maybe wiring harnesses or whatever. And now he's got to have some, that's where that car can languish at that point, because he may not have the skill set to go to the next step.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. But he's so enthusiastic, it's refreshing, and the fact that he really is at a base zero, and he's learning, and he's going to join the club.
Oh, good.
He's going to get into the club with a couple of the guys that have 66s for some help. He's really gung-ho at the moment. Justin down at Sells is doing a really nice job on it, so it's and I told him, I said, you know, the car has nice lines. I like the 65, 66, 67 four doors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, hey, if that was your grandfather's car, that's even more reason to do it.
You know, we've seen that on the TV shows, too, where a car goes through the restoration process, and it's an oddball car or a four-door or whatever. And you know, through the interview, they'll say, well, why this car? Because we could, you know.
Yeah.
And that's it. Listen, it's got a family tie. And then it's always like, okay, you know what? That's it. That's the reason. All bets are off. That's what we're going to do. And,
and it seems like every car has some sort of story, history.
They do.
Emotional, you know, a tie to it or whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Unfortunately, we always learned that to us, the four-door cars were a bunch of spare parts sitting on the side of the curb.
Yeah.
They stripped them out, and there's less and less of those, too, now.
Sure. You're absolutely like Ray said. It's now they're becoming valuable because the two-door cars are all restored. The two-door cars are commanding large prices. So the budget-minded guy, like your friend here, who's learning, which is invaluable in itself, he's learning, which is fantastic. Yeah. That's the main goal here, learning, meeting friends, and having a good time. That's the, and if you could do that while restoring a car, wow.
Speaking of friends, Billy Velvet let me know that he's got a 68 Polara for you.
Ooh.
So I guess now all the Chryslers are going your way. So if you want a 68 Polara, reach out to Billy. He'll hook you up.
I have no room. Yeah. I got a big fat Chrysler sitting in my garage. I got no room.
I got a big yard, though.
Yeah, and I got a wife that likes flowers.
Yeah. Yes. You'll be pushing them up if you put too many cars in.
Exactly.
Got that right.
Yeah. All right, guys.
All right, Bob.
Easter.
Thanks, Bob.
Oh, and Ray, I'll mention this because we met last week, and we moved our show out to July 18th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so same place, and we're going to move forward, and we're going to give it our best shot.
Good. Can you send me a flyer on that? This way I can put it in rotation and keep it mentioned.
Sure.
Excellent.
So it'll be back at the Merrick Fireman's Field, and we just needed to wait for the fire departments to give us an approval.
Right.
And everybody's optimistic that, you know, June, July, August are going to be safer, better times.
Right.
And if that's the case, it'll be wonderful.
Excellent.
All right, Bob. Thank you very much. Happy Easter.
Thanks, Bob. Happy Easter.
Always
Thanks, Bob.
A great
Happy
show.
Easter.
All right.
Thank you.
So long.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. That's a great topic, yes, and yes. You still have time to get us at 516-572-7440.
It is. It really is. It's a topic to that always can keep the fires burning here on this show.
Yeah.
As far as the way someone, I love the fact that Bob has got the time to to devote to something. I mean, it must be nice to have that choice. Well, what should I do? But I think you gave him the right advice, Ray. Start with the small stuff on the repairs on your cars, and because he's got two great cars. I mean, to start another project when you have those two things sitting in the garage, I would say, like you say, fix them. Get that thing. Get them all running and get them all perfect.
The lines are ablaze. Let's go back to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, Motor Mouths. This is Rob. Happy Easter to you.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Rob. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. So we're waiting for my wife to come out. We're going to do a little bit of, you know, shopping for, you know, baked goods and things like that. So in the meantime, I'm in the garage. She's taking stock of what I've been doing over the past couple of weeks. You're talking about restorations and dumping a lot of money into these things, exceeding the value of the car.
Sure.
That's not always, you know, the biggest thing. Like you were saying, if the car means something to you, it's worth the money.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, here, I have my wife's Mustang, right? I bought this for her as an engagement gift back in 1993.
It's
a 64.5 Mustang. It's an early car, you know? Mm-hmm. So even if you do kind of exceed the limit on the value, I mean, still, it's something that has a lot of, you know, personal value.
It's, you know, it's a personal choice to make that decision. We've all done it. Yeah. And, you know, the term that's used is actually over restoration. In the article that Bob's talking about, the guy mentions, he talks about houses. And yeah, I mean, we've heard that too, where you could restore or modify your house and you can basically over restore it for your neighborhood, where you basically make it more valuable than any of the comps around it. So now you may have a hard time selling it because you've
just like
if it's far under the value of the others, it could be too far over too. So
yeah, well, it's like, you know, you have $1.5 million, you know, dollar home in a $600,000 neighborhood. You know,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a bit of a difficult sell, you know. But the Mustang's coming along very nicely. You know, the engine is out at Merkle right now, waiting for that to be finished up. And then when it comes back, I'll build it, drop it in. Transmission is all rebuilt, ready to go, get married up to that. And you know what it is, though, guys? It's all the detail work now, the stuff that's really time-consuming. Like, I mean, everything in this car that was so worn, right down to the shifter. You know, the Mustangs, the shifters, they get very sloppy, the automatic shifters. Because the bushing goes bad, you know. Actually, it's the body of the shifter that goes through the floor, which is the bushing itself. There's no like bronze bushing in there. So even something as stupid as that had to be repaired. You know,
right.
We just got done with the heater box. All right, the heater box was a mess, so we cleaned that up and did some, you know, like repair work on it, whatever. The motor, of course, was squealing, so I took that apart and rebuilt that bushings and turn the armature and the lathe and whatever, so that's working. But every stupid little thing that needs attention, you know?
Okay. I'll tell you what else needs attention, Rob, and what's going to squeal is Kim if we don't get off this off the show quick. So we got to go,
right,
brother.
Well, you guys, You guys get going, and happy Easter, everybody out there.
Thanks, Rob. Happy Easter.
Thanks, Rob. Okay, always a pleasure.
All right. Yeah, that's it. We've burned another hour, Chris. We've done it one more time, but at least I could hear you this time, which we got to remember that with your phone for next week. That's
yes,
a great thing to know.
I think that's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Good. I'm glad we're able to solve that problem.
So,
solving problems here at Motormouth Radio. I love it.
And what do we always say on our way out the door?
Don't trip over the Easter Bunny and don't follow us home.
Right. For Chris, this is Ray. We'll see you next week on Motormouth Radio. Bye.
See you, bye. We'll be right back.